Welcome to the Barry Investment Advisors podcast. My name is Liz Garvey, and I'm a financial planner here. And today on the podcast, we have a guest speaker who is Luann Lee, who is your college planning coach.
Also here is Kate Rowe, and I'm a financial planner as well. So Luann, we were just hoping that maybe you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. Hi, Liz and Kate and to the audience. My name is Luann Lee, and I'm the owner of Your College Planning Coach. And I hold, you know, certain titles and whatnot, but pretty much I'm a late-stage college planning specialist and a college funding student loan advisor. And my home and office, I'm located in Virginia. But all of my family is in the New Bedford and Dartmouth area there in Massachusetts.
Great. Thank you, Luann. We appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
Sure.
So our first question is, what is the optimal time to meet with a family that has a high school student?
Well, you know, with a high school student, which is what we call kind of the late stage college planning period. You know, optimal time really is when the student is, say, freshman to no later than the start of their sophomore year. And that way, not only can you take advantage of finding out what your expected family contribution will be early enough, and for those families that can make some adjustments to their income or to their assets prior to the end of the sophomore's, December 31st of the sophomore year. That's what we consider the base college planning year. So, you know, ideally no later than the sophomore year gives you enough time to make some changes that could be very, you know, cost advantage to a lot of families.
Great. All right. And I think a lot of people use their guidance counselor for advice on where to apply and what to choose for majors and you know, all those questions that they have. How do you differ from a guidance counselor?
Well, for one, guidance counselors are there to help your students figure out what classes that they need to stay on course with for graduating from high school. And unfortunately, you know, guidance counselors, the average high school, at least in this area in Northern Virginia, you know, they're looking at anywhere from 300 to 500 students a year that they'll be speaking to. And even if college planning was their specialty, how much time can you give that student? I mean, it's, you know, not even an hour really per student for the year. So I look at what I bring to the table is I can be a resource for those guidance counselors that they make sure that their students are staying on track with what they need to graduate and they're, you know, keeping up with AP classes and that sort of thing. But, you know, for me, what I make sure is going through this process with college selection and whatnot, that the families are looking at schools that are going to be not only a good academic and social fit, but most importantly, a good financial fit as well. And your guidance counselors, they just don't have, that's not their bailiwick. As financial advisors, you know, that's your specialty. Your specialty is not telling kids what English class or Spanish 1, 2, or 3, and the same with me. But we bring that unique opportunity to discuss the financial part, whereas, you know, your guidance counselors, they don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
So what would a family expect in the initial meeting and then throughout the entire process of working with you?
So pretty much the initial meeting starts out with whether someone has been referred to me or they've come to one of the workshops that I give or have come to a webinar that I've done is, we kind of go over what's the most important thing to them. What are their goals in regards to college? And most importantly, how are they thinking that they're going to pay for college? What was mm-hmm. their plan? And have they had that talk with their student? As far as is the student going to have any financial responsibility or not? Are we going to take out loans? Do we have other resources? And then we also do a student profile to find out where the student is with their GPA, with their class load, what types of schools have they been thinking about, and have they even thought about why do they want to go to college? Is it just because mom and dad say I have to go? Is it just because everybody else goes to college and I guess I have to go too? Or are they already thinking about different careers that they could possibly, go to college for? So that, the whole purpose as far as I'm concerned, for going to college is to get the education that you need to get a decent job to support yourself as an adult so they don't come back home and living as basement dwellers with mom and dad because they chose a basket weaving major or something that there's no jobs out there for.
Be financially independent. Right.
Correct. So, ironically, one of the first places that we get started with is actually with a career assessment. So I work backwards. We start looking at what careers are the students going to be best suited for. What is something that how they're wired inside, and there's a few assessments that can, do that and can open up their eyes to, geez, I didn't think about that, or I thought I wanted to be an engineer because that's what my dad does, or I'm going to go into nursing because that's what my mom does, and
right.
it kind of opens their eyes up because if you don't know what your career path is or what the expectations of income will be and job growth, you could spend an awful lot of money on a 4-year degree and find out that you're not going to get your return on that investment.
Yep. I think that's so important that people really need to think about the big picture.
It is. It's unfortunate. College has changed so much since most parents with high school students and gosh, my kids are 38 and 42, so it was a long time ago. I graduated from Dartmouth High School in 1973. And, the cost of where I went to college now has increased 1,120% since that time. So college has become very big business. It really changed in the 1980s on how colleges were starting to attract students to attend. And now, it is one of the biggest businesses out there. And the inflationary rate of the cost of education is more than healthcare costs and anything else out there. And the only thing that has risen more in inflation than the cost of college is college textbooks. So
right.
college is a pretty big business to be involved in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So we were hoping you could elaborate on the process, specifically how each student is matched.
You mean as far as match to colleges that are good fits for them? Or
yeah. Like say, I can see you at these five schools. You should apply to these, et cetera.
Right. So, you know, once again, I tend to work backwards. You know, so many kids, they, in third grade, they're saying, I'm going to go to BU or Northeastern, or in this area, it's, you know, Virginia Tech all the way. But, you know, it's going to start with the career path, because then we have to look at schools, what types of majors will support that career. And then we start looking at, well, what schools are going to support that major? Because not all colleges are going to have all majors. And then we start doing a search on, I use a program that I've used for a number of years, that we input a lot of data, the student answers a lot of questions, personality traits and whatnot. And we start doing searches on that data, as well as their GPA, their SAT or ACT scores, especially if a family is looking for either merit scholarships, so we can search on, is that student going to be in the top 25% of the average incoming class, that they're going to be eligible for merit, or do we have a family that they can qualify for financial need, and let's just say they have, you know, a really bright student, all around good kid, and a family with, you know, less than 65,000 adjusted gross income, that child could probably go to Princeton or Harvard for less cost than it would go cost them to go to a community college. So, you know, there's a lot of it's not a cookie cutter situation. You have to take in a lot of variables, but yep. You know, most families, you know, they're either going to be in the camp of, we've never been able to save because of, you know, life circumstances. We've got an exceptional student, or, your average middle class family that we make an okay income, but not enough to, you know, pay for our kids to go to college. They're not going to get any financial need-based aid as far as the government is concerned. So they're right. going to be looking for merit scholarships. But then right. you have what I call the financially blessed. Usually they're business owners or high-level executives, people with fairly decent incomes of, you know, 250 plus. You know, sometimes they still, you know, they're financially blessed because they've made good financial choices. They want to conserve what they have and look for, you know, good value and merit scholarships. But then there's the other category of parents that say, gosh, you know, little Johnny or Susie, I'm their parent. I owe them an education. I promise them they can go to any school that they want to, and we'll just figure it out. And some of those parents are, you know, forking over 60 to 70,000 plus per year, full pay. And, right. you know, it's,
that can be a slippery slope.
Right. Oh, super, super slippery. Yeah.
What would you say your biggest success story is with helping a student and their family?
Well, this just happened. I've got a lot of good stories. I have more bad stories. But this just happened with a student that I'm working with, this family. I've worked with them for a couple of years now. Their daughter's going off to, in fact, this week, she's heading off to her freshman year, going into a nursing program. And her brother is a year younger than her. And I've been working with both of them. And so brother has been saying all along, I want to go engineering. That's what I want. Engineering. And I just couldn't see it. And he hadn't done his assessment yet. So I said, all right, we're not doing anything more until we look at your assessment. So he gets it completed. And, you know, lo and behold, there's nothing in his report that shows that engineering or computer science is in his, you know, how he's wired. And he really was the best careers for him are in that service industry of, you know, fire department, police department, nursing, health and such. And he was a little bit shocked and dismayed at first. And I got him to open up and I said, why were you choosing engineering other than here in Northern Virginia? Every other kid thinks that they're going to go into engineering. He says, well, that's what my dad does. And he said, I didn't want to pick, you know, nursing like my sister is. But so he, you know, we did a little bit more deep diving and he's signed up with one of the local fire and rescue squads as a volunteer and has spoken to a number of people and realized, you know, paramedic firefighter would be an excellent career path for him. And so he said, do I still go off to a 4-year university? And I said, no, you don't have to, because there's other areas that you're going to have to get your advanced education for this field. But I would still like to see you do that in addition to going and getting your associate's degree at the community college, so that as you advance in that firefighting field, you have better chance of advancement, you know, lieutenant, captain, and that sort of thing. And right. So, you know, it's, I'm not the one that says that every single kid has to go to college. If it's the right path and it's the right fit for them, yes. But I just saved this family probably about $80,000 just in the first 2 years of college, because he eventually would have realized this is not the path for me. Right. And I think that's a pretty good success story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is nice. I think it's really hard for kids to decide at age 18 what they want to do with their life. And unfortunately, I think a lot of kids do kind of follow in their parents' footsteps because they just don't know what else to do. So it's
correct.
Good that he was able to, you know, take a volunteer job with them and realize that is what he wants to do.
Right.
That's nice.
I'll tell you what, that career assessment is the number one tool that every high school student, I usually don't have them take that before, say, the spring of their sophomore year. I do have one student, I've been working with this family, their daughter was in the eighth grade. I mean, they're real planners. So we did do the assessment with her, and I told him we'll redo this in her sophomore year. You know, she's already taking advantage of reaching out to people in the cybersecurity area and such, to and robotics and that sort of thing. So not only is that going to help her on her path, but it's also going to help her qualify for merit scholarships because yep. she started doing all of these things early enough.
That's great.
Good.
How many schools would you say a typical student applies to?
So I like to see probably no fewer than, say, in this area of Northern Virginia, probably no fewer than 6 and no more than 10. That being said, every now and then, like I have 2 students this year, they know without a doubt what school they want to attend. The parents already know that this is affordable to them, even if the students don't get any kind of merit scholarships. They're not going to qualify for any financial need-based aid. And the student, these 2 students, they're going to apply early decision. They'll know by December 15th if they got accepted or not. And if they did, well, that's wonderful. They're not going to apply to any other school. But we still, just in case they don't get accepted or they're put on, you know, deferred until regular decision or the dreaded wait list, we still have 3 other schools that are in their back pocket that would be a good fit that they will still be able to apply to during those particular schools' early action plans. But I've seen some students apply to 35 or 40 schools. Not working with me.
That's a lot of application fees.
I know.
Absolutely. I talked to a family a few years ago that they did. They were applying to 42 different schools. Not only the application fees, but a lot of those schools require the CSS profile, which is a fee financial aid form that a lot of private schools and or, you know, more selective state schools ask for. And they were just, they just were assured that their son was going to receive scholarships. And they were referred to me by another financial advisor who doesn't specialize in college planning. So yes, they said, yeah, we can do this on our own. I said, that's fine. Your financial advisor just wanted to make sure that you were covering all your bases. So I contacted them probably about 6 months later. I was cleaning up my phone and he was not offered $1 in merit scholarships or financial need from any of those 42 schools.
Wow.
And they really didn't. And they spent almost $4,000 in fees.
Wow. Oh, it's terrible.
So, there's a lot of misconceptions out there that, you know, people assume because of certain ethnic groups and or grades and or, you know, disabilities, you know, you name it. They just assume that there's going to be scholarships and, you know, college is a business and they're not going to offer you that merit money unless you're bringing something to them along, you know, with either grades or you fit, you know, some check mark in their back office box or, you know, what are you going to bring to the table to that college that's going to then attract other students to come, you know, it's the cycle of, you know, paying for college.
Right. Okay. So what are the different service options that you offer and what are the costs associated with those?
So, you know, that's kind of a loaded question. And I always answer it, you know, if I could save you $50,000, on the cost of college, what would you be willing to spend? And it's nowhere near, you know, it's a fraction of that. But the reality is it just depends on what a family is looking for. Some families just need a little bit of guidance. Maybe they want somebody to fill out the FAFSA, which is the financial aid forms and or look over their, you know, what they've done. Some just need like an online SAT prep. And so it could be as little as, you know, a product that's $150 to full one-on-one. I take care of everything with the student and do a financial blueprint so that the family knows exactly what they're going to be spending, not just on that first semester, but for the next 4 years. And if they've got three or four children, what that blueprint is going to look like for the next, you know, 12 to 16 years so that they get the reality of, oh my gosh, I had no idea that, you know, three or four kids, we might be looking at anywhere from $750,000 or more
right.
over the course of, and, you know, so that they can get a reality check of just how are we going to go about this. And that could, you know, my top package is right about $5,000, but that's, you know, that's working with a family for a number of years.
Yeah.
So,
that seems really reasonable given that you could save them tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I think so too. I know a lot of my peers charge a lot more. You know, I'm not an independent education consultant that is helping a student pick out their classes and in high school as well as college and such. And I'm not in any way, shape or form going to guarantee that they're going to get into the, you know, their dream school or, you know, some of these scandals that have been happening and such. But I do guarantee that, you know, families will be happy and satisfied working with me, that I've eliminated a lot of the stress off of, you know, this whole process. And, you know, I just give them, you know, there's no fluff. It is what it is. And I believe that if you educate people on all of the options and choices they have, then they're able to make the proper informed decisions that are going to be right for them, instead of, you know, somebody coming in and trying to peddle a product to them that
right.
is going to be, you know, that is not going to benefit them in the way that they are expecting.
Okay, great. So, Luann, what's the best way for one of our clients to contact you?
Well, I've got my website. It's if you take Your College Planning Coach and look at the abbreviation of Your College Planning, so it's YCPCoach.com. You know, if they just Google Luann Lee, Your College Planning Coach, it comes up. I've got a Facebook page. I do not tweet. There's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
I do, you know, I believe in social media to a degree. And we do go over with students the value, the pluses and the minuses of what to do and not to do with social media that can have an impact on colleges that are, you know, they, I remember a couple of years ago, a young lady, her offer was rescinded from a college because of inappropriate postings on her Facebook page.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's a tough lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a whole 14 or 15 students that were accepted to Harvard, of all places, that their acceptances were rescinded because of they created this, what they thought was a private Facebook group, very inappropriate behavior, and they got caught. And you would think that somebody who's smart enough to get accepted into Harvard would know better.
Right.
But yeah, anyways. The one thing that I try to get across to all parents and their students is take the emotion out of this whole process and put blinders on and just look at it from a realistic viewpoint and, you know, look at it as a, you know, it's a bottom line, it's a purchase, and it's going to end up being one of the most expensive purchases in your lifetime other than possibly your mortgage. But if you've got two or three or more kids, it's definitely going to be more than a typical mortgage. So the emotion has to go out of the equation and just look at it from a pure, okay, this is a business, it's a purchase. And if they go about it in that way, they can save, you know, a ton of money, but more importantly, a ton of heartache.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So thank you for having me come and talk.
Well, thank you everyone for listening, and stay tuned for more information about planning for college. If you have any additional questions, feel free to give us a call at 888-992-8601, or you can always email us at planning@barryia.com. Thank you so much, everyone.